One of the most beloved and celebrated musical ambassadors of our time, soprano Renee Fleming, is loved for her sumptuous voice, consummate artistry, and compelling stage presence. At a White House ceremony last July, the president awarded Ms. Fleming the National Medal of Arts, America's highest honor for an individual artist.
Known as the People's Diva and winner of the 2013 Grammy Award for Best Classical Vocal Solo, over the past few seasons, Ms. Fleming has hosted a wide variety of television and radio broadcasts, including the Metropolitan Opera's Live in HD series for movie theaters and television, and Live from Lincoln Center on PBS.
She'll be performing at the Tanglewood Opener on Saturday night, and later this month, she'll be in the Berkshires to perform her first role in a play. She's making her debut at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Living on Love, playing an opera diva at odds with her husband over the people they've hired to ghostwrite their autobiographies. What is not to love about that? It runs July 16th through the 26th, and it is an absolute delight to welcome Renee Fleming to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why are you doing the Williamstown thing? Is it slumming, or is it just something that you're sort of, you know, reaching out to do something a little different?
You know, I've always been a person who's not a big repeater. I like to do new things. I love climbing new mountains and having adventures. And this is actually more than I bargained for. It's quite an extraordinary experience so far.
What's the part about more than you bargained for, the learning just, lines? Or
well, it's a comedy. So, you know, the amount of lines, the back and forth, the kind of sharpness that it requires, and I don't have the underpinning of music to carry me along. You know, what we do is so stretched out and so languid, and particularly when you think that I'm typically playing the woman who is the tragic heroine, and this is completely different.
Mm. We had an interesting discussion about this on the air recently about the level of acting in opera. And so, I mean, is it transferable at all? So when you are in a quote-unquote straight play of what it is like to take those acting ingredients and placing them in this context?
It's absolutely transferable. It's just that in opera, the composer's done a lot of work for us. He's given us the
right
pitch and the tempo, and for the most part. So what we say is dictated in terms of how we say it. And there's a little room for interpretation within that. And certainly the acting is and the blocking and all of that is open. But in a play, it's open season. All you have is words. And everything else comes from you and your director and colleagues.
So I guess a lot of people who are listening who should know better would love to know a little bit about your own upbringing. Where were you educated? What happened?
Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York.
And
my parents were both high school vocal music teachers. So I come by this honestly, and I had a spectacular education. I had ultimately one of the most important elements was a Fulbright scholarship. So I studied in Germany. I sing in 8 or 9 languages, and then I went to Juilliard and Eastman and SUNY Potsdam. I had a really spectacular education.
And how did you learn 9 languages? I mean, you know, in America, you learn one other language and you're regarded as a hero.
Right.
Do you do 9
languages? I didn't learn 9 languages. I sing in 9 languages. I speak fluent German, which was where I studied.
Yeah.
Some Italian, and I used to speak very good French.
You lose it?
Yeah, if you're not there all the time, if you're not using it, it's you know, it's there to be recaptured, but it's not quite as at the tip of your finger, sort of.
Uh-huh.
When so we've been talking a little bit about what you're doing at Williamstown. So the opener is really fascinating here at Tanglewood because you'll be doing a little of everything, won't you?
Yeah, the opener is really a wonderful, it's an American, a focus on American music, and that was a request, which I love, and I'm starting with Samuel Barber's Knoxville, and that's a really beautiful piece. It's one that's kind of iconic. It's not done, it used to be done a lot, and it hasn't been done as much in recent years, so I'm really happy to have that with Bill Edens, the maestro. We were in South Africa together and had a fantastic tour about 4 or 5 years ago. So it's wonderful to reunite with him and, of course, the Boston Symphony. And the second half with Rob Fisher is American Music Theater. And it's I'm delighted to be able to sing Rodgers and Hammerstein and the music that has also become, in a way, part of our classical lexicon, because it's from our country, and it stood the test of time, certainly.
Are there opera singers who look down their noses at the American songbook?
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. That is way in the past, this whole idea that we're, you know, sort of elitist animals, and in fact, even my generation has embraced all kinds of music, but the next generation really doesn't pay much attention to those genre barriers at all.
We were, Mark Volpe was in here just a few minutes ago. He was talking about a horrible experience that he had with the BSO doing a national anthem with Mariah Carey. You did the national anthem for the Super Bowl. What's it like?
Well, that was pretty incredible, because when do we get an audience of 110 million or 111 million?
I mean, and you're in New York.
Yeah. And not to mention the motorcade that takes you through the tunnel with no traffic. Right there, it's worth
it,
right?
Very nice.
No traffic. So I'll tell you, I lost a lot of sleep in the preparation of it, because it all had to be in secret. But it was well worth it.
Why did it have to be in secret? Remind me.
Because the NFL had to make the announcement.
Oh, I see.
And they make it a week before. So we had to sort of, my team and I had to kind of prepare the whole production aspect of it in the weeks leading up, but very quietly.
Who's on your team?
My management and everybody who helped me. I mean, Rob Mathis made a beautiful arrangement, and I knew I wanted sort of a military choir, and they were phenomenal and so beautifully prepared. And it turned out really well. Vera Wang,
I went to Vera
and said, please, you know, she's a friend of mine. And I said, I know it's right before Fashion Week, but please help me. So it all came together.
So is there any, did it have to be pre-recorded?
Yes. The whole thing has to be pre-recorded. I mean, you know, God forbid you choke as you're walking onto the field. It's live television. However, in fact, the orchestra has to be, and chorus had to be pre-recorded and used as a tape, because there was not enough time to clear them, but I sang live. I wouldn't even know how to lip sync. I mean, that would be a disaster.
Well, I don't get it. What do you mean you sing live if it's pre-recorded?
They're pre-recorded. So we're all pre-recorded in case of something happens, right?
Right.
However, for the actual performance, I sang to the tape of the orchestra.
An open mic, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. There have been, fashion disasters, to put it mildly, in this thing.
Wardrobe malfunctions?
Wardrobe malfunctions. You instructed your... Vera Wang.
Vera Wang would not do that.
Frankly, it was supposed to be 10 degrees, so I think we'd be limited to what we could even imagine happening.
Get a coat. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be fairly. Do you take things like that as a bonus, or do you think of those as career moments, you know, of being able to say, okay, that's something that I couldn't have even dreamed of?
Well, it was a huge thing. I mean, I'm now recognized by a lot more people than I was before. I may be the anthem singer, but I'll take it. It's
right.
Wonderful that people heard someone from my world who didn't sound awful to them, who they thought, oh, wow, that's okay. And I got so much mail afterwards from people for whom it really meant something. I didn't realize how emotional and how strongly people feel about the national anthem. So it was a fascinating experience. And I mean, all of these things that I've done, whether it's, you know, singing at Buckingham Palace or for the Queen's Jubilee or in Jordan for the Nobel Peace Prize, these are all fascinating experiences because they expose me to a whole nother world.
Well, Mark Volpe went out of his way to talk about what a lovely person you are and how easy it is to work with you.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So the question is, how does somebody who has all of those creds avoid, you know, going in the wrong direction, thinking too much about themselves?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I mean, in my experience, people either don't change or they believe their press even before they should. So I'm definitely in the former category, and I mean, I wish I did absorb a little bit more of the experiences I've had, but I don't seem to do that.
Renee Fleming will be performing at the Tanglewood opener on Saturday night. Plus, she'll be making her debut at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Living on Love. running July 16th through the 26th. Can't wait to see that performance as well. Renee Fleming, thank you so much for fitting us in this morning. A delight to have you here.
Thank you very much. Great
thank
to see you,
so
you both.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.